Everybody repeat after me, say, I'm going to live a fruit-filled life, not a fruity life. Anybody ever met any fruity Christians? It's like, what planet are you from? I know the Bible says we're supposed to be strangers and aliens, but that's a little strange for me. How many of you know God called us to be in this world, but not of this world? But he didn't mean that we couldn't relate to people in this world. That as believers, when you read the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was no more spiritual person that ever walked the face of the earth, but there was no more relational person than Jesus Christ. And if we can't relate to people, how many of you know that they're not going to be able to respond to the Father? And God has called us to not be fruity. He has called us to be fruitful. He has called us to be fruitful. You know, we got to be able to speak people's language, don't we? If we go out there and we use all kind of wacky, weird religious talk that nobody can relate to, how many of you know that we're now living in a more and more unchurched society? But how many of you know the love of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ is just as relevant today as it ever has been? And we have to be people who live lives that are filled with the fruit of God, so that as we live and as we work and as we shop and as we mow our grass and talk to our neighbors, that we can be a difference maker and a light in the world. Listen, if all God intended for us to do was come to know him, which is the primary purpose that we were created. How many of you know God created us because he desired relationship with us? He wanted a being that would choose to love him back. And so he created man in his image. And so we were created in the image of God because God desired relationship with us. Did you know that? God desired relationship with us. That's why he created man. But if the only thing he wanted from you and me was for us to come to truth and to receive him and make him the Lord of our life and make him our Father, then as soon as that happened, then he would have caught us on out of here. But is anybody in here a child of God? Let me see your hand. Anybody in here made Jesus the Lord of your life? Everybody look around at the hands that are up. And look, everybody's still here, right? We're still here. So there's got to be more to this than just coming to know Jesus. He wants us to know him, but simply to know him and to make him known is our primary purpose for being on this planet. Because when we come to know him, then we carry a deposit in us. We carry a truth within us. We carry a power within us that people around us do not have and they need to know. And so God has called us to be a people that know him and make him known. And the way that we make him known is that we allow our lives to be molded and shaped and changed into the image of Jesus Christ. That is his primary purpose and his primary goal for all of our lives. People say, what is the will of God for my life? I just don't know what the will of God for my life is. Can I just go ahead and tell you what the will of God for your life is? Anybody want to know what the will of God for your life is? It's to look like Jesus. And to act like Jesus, regardless of where you work, regardless of what color you are, regardless of how old or how young you are, the primary will of God for all of our lives is that we participate with the Father as he works in us. Anybody need God working in your life? So that what we look like today is more like Jesus than what we looked like yesterday. And that a year from now, when people run into us, they say, there's something going on with you. There's something different about you. And you just say, I'm allowing the potter to work in my life. And he's molding me and he's making me and he's shaping me. The primary purpose of God for our lives is to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And so we've been talking about allowing God to change us for many weeks. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about bearing fruit in your life. About how to live a fruit-filled life. That is the symbology that Jesus used when he talked about living a life that looked like him while we are here on the earth. I had a little story. There was a preacher, a pastor who was out in his garage and he was working on a little carpentry project. And there was a little next door neighbor boy who came and was peeking around the corner of the garage. And the pastor noticed him there and he just kept standing there and he kept peeking, he kept watching. And after a while, the pastor said, "Hey son, how are you doing today?" He said, "Are you just trying to pick up some pointers on how to do some carpentry skills?" And he said, "No sir, pastor." He said, "I'm just waiting to see what a pastor says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." How many of you know that's real? Anybody live real lives? Day-to-day lives, real issues, real work issues, real marital issues. How many of you know those real issues can be handled by the very real Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us? And what comes out of us, how many of you know what comes out when that hammer meets that thumb is who we really are? Isn't that the truth, though? When we're squeezed upon, what comes out of us is what's really on the inside of us. And what God wants to be on the inside of us is more of Him. He wants our character to not be our character, but our character to be the character of Jesus Christ. And the scripture says in Galatians 5:22, we'll put it on the screen, but it's in your notes, at the top of your notes, it says this, but when, everybody say when, the Holy Spirit controls our lives. Now let me stop there for just a second. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, that means you got to take the bumper sticker off your car that says the Holy Spirit's my co-pilot. How many of you know he don't need to be our co-pilot? When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, that means He's the pilot of my life. We need to allow God to be in control of our lives, but God does not arrest control from us. We are not robots. We were born with a free will. He gave us a free will. We have to surrender. Everybody say surrender. Surrender is a day-by-day event in our lives. We crucify ourselves daily, right? It's a daily surrender. It says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, and that's only going to happen as you and I allow Him to. Now, we can allow Him to be in control when things are going good. But when we hit a bump in the road, guess what? There again, we have to make the choice of whether we're going to allow the Spirit of God on the inside of us to be in control. Either I'm going to be in control, or the Spirit of God on the inside of me is going to be in control. And if I'm in control, guess what kind of fruit my life is going to bear? It's going to bear things like anger and frustration and anxiety, right? All of those types of things. But when the Holy Spirit is in control of your life and my life, it makes all the difference in the world. Because my life will begin to bear fruit that wasn't there before. It says when He's in control of our lives, He will produce. Everybody say He's going to produce it. Who's going to produce it? When the Holy Spirit is in control of my life, He will produce some fruit in my life that looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can I say this? I remember being a little kid, and I remember doing little cutouts of like fruit and stuff in Sunday school class. Anybody remember doing that? We'd write things on there like love, joy, and we'd put them on the bulletin board over there or whatnot. And that's cute, but can I tell you that the fruit of the Spirit's a lot more powerful than it is cute? We don't need any greater revelation in the body of Christ than this, that if the Holy Spirit will control our life, He will produce fruit in us. And this fruit will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance, and self-control. And that fruit is the character of God. That is the character of God. When Jesus walked around on this planet for 33 and a half years, if you looked at His life, He said, I came to reveal to you the Father. And what you saw in His life was the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit was the very character of God. The way that we're going to be salt and the way that we're going to be light is when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives and begin to produce this fruit in our life. Now, you may be married to somebody and you may be a good fruit inspector. You got any fruit inspectors in here? And you might be real good at determining what kind of fruit your spouse is bearing or what kind of fruit your child is bearing. But God wants us to inspect ourselves, right? He wants us to inspect ourselves. And there can be fruit in our life that the Holy Spirit is producing, but then there can be other fruit in our life that's very vacant. But all of this fruit in its totality, God says, is necessary. And it's what He wants to work within our lives. And the purpose of God in our life is that we be transformed into the image of Jesus. You know what the image of Jesus is? Galatians 5:22 and 5:23. What does Jesus look like? He looks like love. What does Jesus look like? He looks like joy. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. He looks like joy. He looks like peace. We have the peace of God on the inside of us, no matter what's raging around us. That comes from the Spirit of God on the inside of us. God wants to produce this fruit in our lives. You say, why does God want to produce this fruit in our lives? I'll give you three reasons real quick. It's not in your notes, but you can jot it down. The number one reason that he wants to produce this fruit in our lives is because it changes our life. Let me say it again. When we allow this fruit to be produced in our life, it changes our lives, it changes our relationships, and it changes our circumstances. Do you know that we are heaven's conduit to earth? Do you know that? You know what conduit is? It's something that something can flow through. Jesus said, pray this, kingdom of God come, will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say, on earth as it is in heaven. You know your earth. Everybody say, this is earth. On earth, in earth, right here. In earth as it is in heaven. See, when this fruit begins to be born in our lives, it changes us. And it changes our circumstances, and it changes our relationships. Because there's not going to be anything that happens through us that doesn't happen in us. Do you know that? The only way that God is going to be able to get heaven to earth is when it comes through willing vessels. It's got to come to us before it can come through us. And if you want your situation with your spouse to change or your situation with your boss to change, there's going to have to be some fruit that is produced in your life. And when that fruit is produced in your life and it's in here, guess what can happen? When you get in that situation next time and he's saying things to you that he shouldn't be saying, and he's treating you a way he shouldn't be treating you, and he's doing all those unkind, unloving things, if there's fruit in me, how many of you know it can come through me? See, the only way my circumstances out here are going to change is if I allow who I am on the inside to change. Are y'all getting this? It's got to come from heaven to me and out of me. The only way your marriage is going to get better is if you get better. The only way that your circumstances are going to have more peace, if we're waiting for peace to come out here so we can be at peace in here, we're going to be waiting forever. See, peace has to be, it's a fruit of the Spirit. When peace is produced in me, guess what can happen? When Jesus was asleep in the boat, it wasn't because there was peace out here. It was because there was peace in here. And regardless of the external circumstances, but guess what? Because there was peace in here, it could come out here and affect his circumstances. See, we have to allow the fruit of the Spirit. It's powerful and it's supernatural and it's God's character and it's God's traits and it's what he wants to work in us so that it can work through us. Can you say amen? Because it changes us. The other thing that the fruit of the Spirit does in our lives is it points to God. It points to God. When people come up against us, let's say that you had circled Walmart 75 times because you didn't want to walk 14 steps, you know, from that far parking spot all the way to the door, you know, because you had to go in there and get your ice cream and all that stuff, and you don't, you know, and you got that perfect parking spot spied out, and you're about to turn in there, and somebody comes the wrong way up the aisle, and they whip in there, and they get your parking spot. That ever happened to anybody? You ever done it to anybody? Man, I turned the wrong way. I was going the wrong way the other day at Walmart, going down the wrong way. You know, the cars are this way and I'm going this way. I just made a mistake. And boy, that guy was not happy with me. I did my best to do like this and smile and everything. It didn't help him any. But anyway, but in that moment when that happens, and our response can be out of our innermost being, there can come kindness. What's more powerful than that? The love of God coming forth in those moments. You know, Jesus said like this. He said, you don't even get credit. That's what he said. He said, you can't even count it to your account when you love somebody that's lovely. That's what he said. He said, the world does that and they don't have the Spirit of God in them. He said, as long as somebody's treating you nice and you treat them nice back, he said, you get no credit. He said, you only get credit when you love the unlovely. He said, you only get credit when you're kind to the ones that aren't so kind. You only get credit when you forgive those who deserve unforgiveness. How many of you? And so let me say this. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. I have three children, and they're all kind of like grown now. How you doing over there? I have to watch this. I have a beautiful six-year-old that's with me over here. So, Julian, we're not going to talk about you. We'll talk about brothers. How about that? But when Ethan and Colin were little, and they came out, they were growing up, and they're only 18 months apart, my two boys. They're a senior and a junior this year. When they were 18 months apart, I didn't have to do anything to train them to be selfish. We didn't have any lessons on how to be mean and hateful or to speak harsh words to each other. How many of you know that's natural? Everybody say it's natural. That's called the old man. That's called here's a spiritual word, the Adamic nature, Adam's nature that we're all born with. We're born with an Adamic nature, which is a unregenerated nature. And it's just in us. Man, it's just in us. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything to grow weeds in your yard. They just grow. It's natural, right? And what's natural for us is when somebody slaps our cheek, it's not natural to turn the other cheek. What's natural, you know what's natural for you. Depends on how you were raised and how you act. See, it's the fruit of the Spirit is supernatural. Loving someone who is unlovely is not normal, but it is Christ-like. And it is what we've been called to do. Our lives are supposed to bear fruit that when people see it and they see it born in my life, they go, wow, that's not normal. Right? You know what I'm saying? And they say, what's different about how do you have peace when you got your pink slip today? I didn't get a pink slip. You got a pink slip and you just lost your job, but you're at peace. How can you be at peace? You're not normal. How many know we're not normal? See, we're connected to the vine. We're connected to Jesus and the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And what we can say is this, is look, it ain't me. If it was up to me, I would be flipping out right now. But because I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able, and I know that my God will never leave me or forsake me, and I know that He is my provider, and I know that His hand is upon my life, and I know that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God, it's all about Him. Let me just tell you that in this moment, this peace I have comes from the Spirit of God. It's not me. Then what it does is it points to God. And people go, there's something different about you, and you say, it's not me, it's Him. And God needs some ambassadors and God needs some representatives on this earth that bear fruit that point to Him. Because He promises us, I forget where it's at now, I think it's Isaiah. He says that my glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You know how that's going to happen? When 1, 2, 3, 10,000, a million people are bearing fruit and His glory comes out through our fruit and we're spread out over all the world. The glory of the Lord's going to cover the earth when it comes out of you and I. Because the Bible tells us that we're to be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord in the earth. See, we are, say, I am the moon. In case y'all don't know this, this is a science lesson, right? Okay. The moon has no light, right? Everybody know that? All it can do is reflect light. We have no light except Jesus. And all we can do is reflect light. There is no glory in me. There is no good thing in me or you save Jesus Christ. But the Scripture says that we are to be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord in the earth. Now, that don't get all super spiritual. That is, I reflect the love of God in my situation. I reflect the goodness of God in my family. I reflect the faithfulness of God. And I have self-control when no one around me has any self-control. And I am reflecting the character of God in the earth. And so when I reflect the character of God in the earth, then His glory becomes more pronounced in the earth. So let me say it like this. There are people in your sphere, I'll call it sphere of influence. There are people that you live with, walk with, work with, brush up against every day that no one else in this room does. You have a sphere of influence. And your job and my job, our responsibility as Christ's followers, as sons and daughters of the King, who He saved and redeemed, and brought out of darkness and into light and left on this earth, our job is to reflect the glory of the Lord in our sphere of influence. Guess what? If you don't do it, who's going to do it? You might be the only one in your workplace that has the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You may be the only one in your neighborhood that's connected to heaven. You may be the only conduit in your house that is connected to God. And if it doesn't flow through you, how's it ever going to get to them? So it's more than getting up and checking the box that I read my Bible today, or I checked the box that I went to church today. How many, that's religion. Everybody say religion. Jesus nuked religion when he showed up on the planet. How many of you know that? Man got real good at religion and checking all the boxes and jumping through all the hoops, right? The Pharisees of the Pharisees and all the things that they did. And Jesus came and he just blew all that out of the water. They said, what are you doing healing somebody on the Sabbath day? Jesus is like, I'm about people. I'm about love. I'm about relationship. I'm about exposing the heart of the Father to all of mankind. And I call you to come follow me and let's do the same. It's not about the ties we wear or the sign that's out front. It's about being the church. It's about being the family of God. And so as we are to be called to be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. Anybody do any house cleaning yesterday? Man, you better raise your hand. I think they cover that tonight in Kingdom Man 101. How to vacuum the house. But you know, you ever tried to look in a mirror that was dirty? You can't see in it real good. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe some sunglasses. What do you have to do? You have to get some Windex out. You have to on there and start polishing it like that right there. See, when the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives, he begins to produce in us. He begins to clean us. He begins to change us. It's not, sir, yes, sir. I'm staying right in and I'm doing all the religious things and all. No, it's changing hearts. I will take out of you a heart of stone. I'll give you a heart of flesh. It's God working in me. It's not religion. It's relationship. And he's cleaning my mirror. And the more of the love of God that's developed in my life. And can I tell you that the love of God is not developed in lovely situations. The love of God is only developed in unlovely situations. I can say that I love everybody on a good day. And I can still say I love everybody on a bad day. But how many of you know actions speak louder than words? But in those situations, when I choose to, God, this is so hard. It's so wrong. It's so unfair. I've yet to find the scripture where Jesus said that life will be fair. Anybody found that scripture? You know, we keep coming out with versions of the Bible. We might get one that says some of the things we wanted to say, right? But it doesn't say that life will be fair. Jesus said it's going to run on the just and the unjust. What he said was, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. When I'm in a difficult spot, when I'm in a hard season, when I'm in a difficult relationship, that it's in that I don't walk around, oh, woe is me, God, just change my situation. What God's saying is I want to change you in your situation. And if I can change you in your situation, then I can change your situation because you will be the dynamic that has changed. You will be the catalyst for change in your situation. But if you don't let me change you, guess what? We're going to be just like the children of Israel that walked around for 40 years in the wilderness. Why were they in the wilderness for 40 years? Because they would not allow the Holy Spirit to produce in them what he needed to produce in them. Any area of my life or your life that is still in captivity, that I'm not experiencing freedom in, there's a reason for it. And we're not surrendered to God. We're not allowing him to produce in us what he needs to produce in us. You might be a person that is very kind, but you may have a real tough time with self-control. You might be a person that's very good to people. You're good to people, but you have a hard time forgiving. You know what I'm saying? These fruits are things that God has to work in our life. It's not like it's an all or nothing deal. You know what I'm saying? It says the Holy Spirit produces in us. Produces means it's a process. There's no farmer that goes out and plants a seed one night and gets up the next morning with his bushel basket and goes out and expects that he's going to harvest a crop. See, this walk with God is a day by day. Sometimes, does anybody know what I'm talking about? It has to be an hour by hour surrender. Oh, God, I'm doing good right now. And then they walk back around the corner and it's like, oh, God, help me. I need your help. right? It's a daily surrender. And as we surrender to the Holy Spirit, He is working and He is producing in us the very nature and the very character of God. Does anybody want to be those that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord? That you're a mirror that allows some, you know, sometimes I know none of y'all in El Dorado do this, but I know some people in Camden that make excuses for how they are. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know anybody like that? We just excuse ourselves. When we have areas of our life that aren't producing the fruit of God, when we have areas of our life where things are not lining up with what the Holy Spirit says they should, then we'll make excuses. Like, well, that's just the way our family is. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way we are. We just stand up for ourselves. You know what you're saying? We're just a prideful family, right? I'm prideful because my family's prideful. We've always been prideful. But we cover that up and we gloss that over by saying, oh, that's just the way we are. Well, God loves us too much to leave us just the way we are. Because we don't reflect the glory of God the way we are. The way we are needs to change. And God's up for the challenge. And He invites us to come along with Him. And it's not like He's a dog trainer trying to get us to jump over all of these things. How many of you know He wants what's best for our lives? I think I've said this here before, but to me it's a whole new revelation of that scripture. Just was such a heavy burden to me for so long, where scripture says, be holy for I'm holy. You know, I'm just trying to see myself on a throne and being perfect and all. How many of you know that's not what He's saying? He's saying, be like my Son. Be whole. Be whole. Completely whole. When you're whole, how many of you know that we reflect His glory in the earth? See, the third reason why we need to be people who bear fruit is because it becomes nourishment for the people around us. A fruit tree doesn't eat its own fruit. It bears fruit because there's someone out there that needs the nutrition. There's someone out there that needs to eat of it. Put it like this. I don't go to a fruit stand to buy peaches when I got peaches at home. You follow what I'm saying? See, our lives are to bear fruit because there are people around us that need it. You say, well, they're not good to me, so why should I be good to them? Because they need goodness. Well, they never treated me kind, so why should I be kind to them? Because they don't know kindness. Well, they're just all up in my business all the time. You know, I felt like the Lord spoke to this to me several years ago, and it was this. You know, when a person's weakness is exposed to us, when we see fault in them. Has anybody ever seen fault in anybody else? Let's have confessional this morning. Everybody raise both your hands and your toes. Have you ever seen fault in somebody else? We got two options when we see that fault. One is we can focus in on it, and we can begin to talk about it. We can begin to think about it. We can begin to call it out. Well, you know the way you talk, and you know what I'm saying. Or the Lord told me a few years back, this may not be revelatory to you, but it is to me. He said, whenever I expose a weakness of someone else that you can see, I do it because I trust you with it. I trust you with it. I trust that you have the Spirit of God enough on the inside of you that you won't go and talk to anybody else about it, but you'll go in the prayer closet and you'll talk to me about it. I trust you with it. I trust you with their weakness. Restore such a one. The Bible says, if you catch anybody else in a weakness or in a fault, the Bible says, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. It's this. If I see a weakness in my wife or my children, or if I see it in my boss, or if I see it in a neighbor, it's because God expects that I can take that thing and I can handle it in the right way. Because maybe no one else that sees that weakness as the fruit of the Spirit working in their lives to the degree that they can become the conduit to help bring change and deliverance in that person's life. See, God wants to use us to be difference makers. He wants us to be fruit stands for His glory. So all day long, you ever been to a baseball game? It's been a long time since I've been to a Major League Baseball game. But those guys that come down and they got those big crates and it's hanging around their neck, you know, it's popcorn, $85 popcorn. You know what I'm talking about. Break out your credit card. Okay? They're walking around, but they have something there that you can partake of. All day long, every day, everywhere we go, we are to be an open fruit stand. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, you need some kindness today? Come right over. It's on special. It's free today. Listen, you ever walked up to a fruit stand and there was so much our vegetables in the supermarket and they just loaded it up and it was just tomatoes just all over the place, and you go ahead and take however many you need, six or eight, to go home, and you turn around and look and it's like, you know, it doesn't even look like any of them is gone. See, that's the way our lives should be. Well, they were just rude to me. You know what? It's just like they were rude to me and kindness flowed out of me. Not naturally, supernaturally. And I look back, and then I bump into somebody else on the next aisle over there, and they get the last bottle of Heinz ketchup. And guess what? I got plenty of fruit in my stand because I've allowed the Spirit of God to work it in me. Amen? How many know that's practical? That's practical. Now, I don't have very long, and I'm just going to talk to you for just a few minutes. I would encourage you, I don't have time. I've preached several sermons on John 15. In Camden. John 15 is the picture of the vineyard. And it's how Jesus explained to his disciples that their lives were to do this, to bear fruit. How are you going to bear fruit? And so he goes through and he gives them an analogy. And this was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane right before he goes to die on the cross. And he says, he explains to him the vineyard. And what he says is, he says, I am the vine. Everybody say vine. This was Jesus talking in red. I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Another good word for that would be he's the gardener. Okay. And then later on, he says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. In your notes right there, I just want you to fill this in because it's really critical that we understand that there are three people in the vineyard, and every one of them has a role and a responsibility if the vineyard's going to bear fruit. The first one is this. The scripture says, let me pull it out so I say it the way it's in your notes. The vine dresser is the Father. He is the fruit cultivator. Everybody say cultivator. Do you know what the job of the gardener is? Is to do everything that he possibly can so that every plant within his garden produces and yields the maximum amount of fruit. He's to provide for the plants. He's to protect the plants. He's to irrigate the plants. He's to coach the plants. He's to prune the plants. He's to cultivate the plants. And the scripture tells us, Jesus said, look, you're a branch. And you're in the vineyard. And the Father is the vine dresser, or he's the gardener. And you know what God's job is? Forever, I read John 15. How many of you are familiar with John 15, where he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, da-da-da-da, all that? There's two major points that always stuck out to me in John chapter 15, and I had a hard time reading John 15. It was kind of like, I felt a little bit like split personality when I read John 15. It's like, I'm the vine and you are the branches. You know, if you don't stay connected to me, you wither up and you're cut off and you're thrown out and burned up in the fire. You know what the scripture, you know what I'm talking about? It's because I didn't have a clear understanding of what was going on there. See, the scripture tells us he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. How many of you know it says he'll lead the 99 and he'll go and find the one? The scripture says that he's the Father and we are his children. The scripture says he's the potter, we're the clay. In every situation, it says he's the gardener and we're the branches. So let me just go ahead. So the Father is the vine dresser and he's the fruit cultivator. Then Jesus said, I am the vine. And what that means is he is the fruit producer. Everybody say producer. And then thirdly, he said, you're the branch. You're the fruit bearer. Bearer. What he said was this. He said, if you abide in me, then you'll produce much fruit. But if you do not abide in me, you can't produce any fruit. See, Jesus is the producer. We can only be the distributor of this fruit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is not something we can produce. We're not the producers. We don't have it within ourselves to be able to do it. The only way we're going to be able to produce this kind of fruit in our life is if we do exactly what Jesus said to do. And he said, be a branch and be connected, intimately connected with the vine. And if you look up here at this picture, what you can see is this is the vine. I've learned a lot about vineyards. I want to go visit a vineyard. But this is the vine that comes up out of the ground. It goes into the ground and all life, all nourishment, all the DNA of the plant, all of the antibodies, all of the life comes up through the vine and it goes to the branches. Do you see those branches right there? And see, the branches are what stand between the vine and the fruit. The only job of the branch is to stay connected to the vine. And if I stay connected to the vine, what will happen automatically in my life is I will produce fruit. I will produce fruit. It's not me running around every day with me seeing God over there and say, God, watch me. Watch me. Watch what I can do. I'm going to love this person. How many know that'll run out real quick? I got this, God. I got this. Watch me. Watch what I'm going to do right here. I'm going to say some kind things. And then they say something back and they go, Well, I'm going to try this out. You know, after two or three times, I'm done. How many of you know we can't do it out of our own self-sufficiency? The only way that we are going to be able to produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is if we abide in the vine. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. If you look at this right here, the cool thing about the difference between the vine and the branches, you can't really tell where the vine stops and the branch starts. Do you know that that's to be the relationship that we have with Jesus? When people look at us, they can't tell where Jesus stops and I start. We look alike, we smell alike, we walk alike, we act alike, because the fruit that he is producing in me has changed me so much, people can't tell the difference between me and Jesus. Now, don't let that be a far-fetched idea. How many of you know God would never ask us to do something that's not possible? He wouldn't tell us to look like Jesus and act like Jesus if it wasn't possible. But it takes a commitment. He said, abide in me, that the branch can't bear fruit of itself. The only way you're going to be able to bear this fruit is if you stay intimately connected with me. And so let's take the mystery out of this for just a second. Let's get away from the spiritual ease part of this. What does that mean, abide in me? It means walking with Jesus. It goes all the way back to Genesis 2. Where God came and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, right? God has always and will always desire to walk with us. Now you may say, well, I thought he never leaves me or forsakes me. How many of you know that's the omnipresence of God? He's everywhere all the time. He's everywhere all the time. But have you ever been in the presence of your spouse and not really been in the presence of your spouse? You know what I'm saying? Can you be sitting near someone and not be connected to that someone? You ever had something between you and the person you were sitting right beside? Might be happening this morning. And it's like an 80-foot steel wall between you and that person. You can be close physically, but you can still yet not be connected to them. Do you know what I'm saying? See, what it means to abide, that word abide in me means to remain. It means to stay in me. This is not what it means. I finally get my alarm to go off. I get up early in the morning. I go get my devotional out, which is good. And I have my little prayer time and do all that. That is great. And I have my 5 minutes, or as you mature in the Lord, that turns to 15 minutes, hopefully, or that turns to 60 minutes. And you have your time with God and you are abiding in Jesus here. And then you get up and you put your hard hat on and you go out the door and you leave his presence in the prayer closet. So all the rest of the day, what I'm doing is I'm doing life on my own. How many of you know that's not abiding? Abiding is remaining in Jesus, staying with him, being actively aware of his presence. How many know his presence is with us? He says, I stand at the door and knock. You just got to open the door and I will come in. See, abiding means remaining. It doesn't mean visiting. It doesn't mean coming and going, coming and going. If we will abide in Jesus, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been more connected to God throughout a whole day or a whole week, and you can tell the difference? Didn't stop it from raining, didn't stop your boss from hollering at you, but it really did change how you responded in those situations. How many know we can't change what happens to us, but we can change what happens through us? So he said this, if you want to be a person that lives a fruit-filled life, you've got to be a person that abides in me. Listen, abiding in Jesus, remaining with Him, walking and talking with Him, being aware of His presence in the grocery store. How many of you, have you ever been walking with Jesus and not walking with Jesus? Here would be the difference. You ever been in a grocery store line and all you can think about is, I'm running late, I got to get home, I got to cook supper. You got all these natural thoughts going on. Jesus is way, you left Him way behind. You know what I'm talking about? Let's be real. Versus when you're staying connected to the Spirit of God. You're aware of His presence with you. And you're allowing Him to speak to your life. And you see that person that's in front of you. And instead of being so frustrated with them because they can't find enough change in their purse to pay for what they're paying for, you're connected with Jesus. And He says, hey, why don't you step up here and kindly take care of their bill for them? Is there a difference in that? All throughout our day, we have the opportunity to be walking with Him or walking by ourselves. The more we abide in Him, the more fruit our life is going to bear. Now, I don't have time. I'm just going to let you fill in these blanks right here, and then we're going to close. How many of you want to live a fruit-filled life? Boy, it'll change things. I'm telling you, it'll change things. There are certain areas of your life that are barren, fruitless, and you wish that they would change. What God is saying to us this morning is this. The way it's going to be changed out here is when it's changed in here. And you may say, well, God, don't you see this? And don't you see that person? God's saying, let me work it in you. Then it'll work through you. Let me work it in you. Then it'll work through you. So what I was going to talk to you about this morning, and I never got there, was if it's so important to abide and to remain in Jesus and to walk with Him, what are some of the things that try to keep that from happening in our lives? Anybody know? Anybody ever made up your mind that you were going to be more in love with Jesus, walk more with Jesus, let Him have a bigger space in your life, and found that it's not all that easy? Obstacles come. Let me just tell you some of the ones we got right here, and then we'll close. Number one, the bottom of the first page, under number three, this was the obstacles to abiding in the vine. A is, we're just ignorant of the invitation. We just didn't know that He really wanted to be with us. Can I tell you this morning that there's nothing that pleases the heart of God more than to be with you? He wants to be with you. When I say ignorant, that just means not knowing. Ignorant of the invitation. Number two, pursuing the wrong priorities. We'll never abide in Jesus as long as He's not the top priority. We just got to make up our mind that He's going to be the first thing on our schedule. He's going to be the most important thing in our life. Because the Scripture says that where our treasure is, what's going to follow? Our heart. So our heart's only going to be with Jesus if He's our treasure. If we treasure Him and we make Him the priority, then our heart will be with Him. But if we treasure everything else, then our heart's going to be with everything else. Number three, or C, depletion of desire. David said it like this. He said, one thing I desire of the Lord, and that I'll seek after. You may be sitting here this morning. You may think, man, I need to bear fruit. Things need to change. I need to abide in Jesus. But I'll be honest. There have been times in my life where I just didn't have a desire. You know what I'm talking about? Let's be real. I don't have a desire. I've been depleted of my desire to be with Jesus. How many know we have to have a desire? What a desire, another word for desire would be a hunger. I have to have a hunger to be with Jesus. And guess what? You don't get hungry when you're full. And some of us aren't hungry for the presence of God because we're too full of other things. And it's not complicated, and He's not mad at us. He's just wanting us to know that there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, even honey ain't good to a full guy, is basically what it says. If we're full of everything else, we've got to begin to empty our lives of some things if we're going to begin to desire the presence of God. Letter D, pursuing works over worship. The Bible says that God is looking for those who will work for Him in spirit and truth, or worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jerry and Leah, could y'all come play? Would y'all mind doing that? Thank you, guys. How many of you know that Mary and Martha both had Jesus in the house? Listen, Mary and Martha both had Jesus in the house. They were both real close to him. But one of them was abiding and one of them was distracted. They both loved Jesus. Matter of fact, Martha's the one that opened the door and said, come on in. But how many of you know she was distracted with the works? She was too concerned with the mission to take time for the master. She was too tied up in the kingdom works to spend time with the king. See, our priority has got to be him. Does God want us to do things in life? Does God want things to happen as a result of our hands? Yes. But do you know that anything that we do in life, anything that we do in life, will not last if it doesn't flow from the Spirit? God's not looking for workers first. He's looking for worshipers. We got to begin to worship God, not just on Sunday morning. We got to worship him every day of our life. Letter next, whatever it is. E, living out of self-sufficiency. Living out of self-sufficiency. You ever been like this? God, I got this. Maybe we don't say it like that. Remember the woman at the well? She's offering Jesus something to drink. Jesus said, if you knew who I was and you know what I have in my cup, you would be asking for a drink from me. Because if you drink what I've got, it will become in you a well that's springing up. And it will never be quenched. We've got to say, God, I ain't got this. I need you. I need your presence. I need you to walk with me. Moses said it like this. Remember when Moses and God were tussling back and forth because God was like, okay, fine. Y'all go on into the promised land. But he said, but I ain't going with you. That's what God said. Moses said this. If you ain't going, I ain't going. If I don't care how promising it looks. If I don't have your presence, I'm not going from this place. I'd rather be in the wilderness with you than in the promised land without you. And lastly, letter E, we have an identity problem. We have an identity problem. We don't see ourselves as being worthy to be with Jesus. Condemnation, guilt, guilt-ridden. We don't feel like that we're worthy. This is one of my favorite topics, and I don't have time to talk about it. I'm just here to tell you today, God's not mad at you. I'm just here to tell you today that he's a good vine dresser. And the most important thing in all the world to him is to work with every branch in his vineyard so that it will be alive. And so it will be cultivated so that it will produce fruit that will remain. Listen, he said we call him daddy. You know you can call him daddy? Yeah, but you don't know what I did this week. You don't know what I was like. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's going on inside of me. You don't know what I was thinking before I came here this morning. God knows all of that, and he loves us just the same. And he says this, none of that will change until you get in my presence. And we're out here trying to change it so we'll be acceptable to be in his presence. It just don't work that way. I run into people all the time in the grocery store, and they'll say, oh, Pastor Stephen, I'm so sorry. I hadn't been to church. I've just been out here. I've been trying to get my life right. And I'm like, you got it backwards. We'll never get our life right until we get into his presence. And we got to come into his presence the way we are. Hey, I'm not proud of the way I am. But you know what? He takes me up in his lap. He dusts me off. He takes care of me. And the Bible says there will be grace and there will be mercy to help me in my time of need. So quit hiding like Adam and Eve from the presence of God when things aren't perfect. It's the very time we need to be running to the presence of God, because that's the only way it's going to get better. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, guys. You guys have been kind. I've went a little bit longer than what I intended this morning. Just lift up your hands there before the Lord. We're going to have a closing worship song, if I can ask for that. And I want us to take about 3 minutes. And I want us to press into the presence of Jesus. The things in our life that have been rubbing us the wrong way, the things in our life that have been overcoming us, the things in our life that seem impossible, the things in our life possibly that have been fruitless and barren for decades. What the Lord is saying to you this morning is there is hope, and it comes from remaining in me and walking with me, and I will work some things in you so I can work some things through you. but return to worship. Return to my presence. Return to my voice. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're willing to do in our lives. We thank you for your grace that's sufficient. God, we want more of you. We want to live a fruit-filled life. God, we want to be your conduit in the earth. God, we want to brightly reflect you. God, we want you to work through us to change us and our circumstances. And God, we commit ourselves to you. If you know this morning that you need to renew your commitment to remaining in Christ, to walking with him, making him a priority, staying plugged into Jesus, staying plugged into his word in a real way, just a real way, just in a, on a daily basis. As we close with this worship song, then just do so by just moving to the altar and spend some time in worship here, and this will be our dismissal. Thank you.